Today's shir is Masech de Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin in Daf Yud Beis on Beis, 13 lines from the bottom, Tanya. We learnt in the previous Mishnah a fundamental machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. The rule is Zochel Adam Shalai Befanav. We could accept and acquire something for someone else without their knowledge if it's to their benefit. If it's a chayv, it's to their detriment. We spoke that it's not going to work. Everybody in the Mishnah agreed that a get is considered something which is a chayv, and therefore you can't accept it on behalf of a woman without her officially appointing you to do that. We had a machloikis in the Mishnah between Ramea and Rav Elazar. What about a shtar shichur for an eved? Ramea held that a shtar shichur is also considered a chayv. The Chachamah held that a shtar shichur is considered a schus. And the Braisa we're about to learn actually delves into that issue, discusses that machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, what is the basis for their opinions. Says the Gemara, Tanya Amar Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says, Amarnu lo Meir, the Chum said to Meir. Rashi says, why is he called Meir, not Rebbe Meir? Because they were friends, they called each other on the first name basis. Valoi, Schusu le'evet shi'ayit mitachas de'i Rav Elacharis. Isn't it a wonderful thing for a slave to be able to go free? How are we calling it a chayv? Amar lanu, and Ramei responded to us, chayv ulay. It's actually considered something which is to his detriment. Shimhay evit kayin, if he was an evit, paislim in a truma. He could still eat truma. And now, by getting freed, he's no longer the evit kanani of a kayin, and no longer able to eat truma. Amar ulay. And the Gemara is going to explain this price in a moment. So Chacham say to Rameya, V'lai Yirtza, what are you saying that the Eved has a benefit by remaining an Eved, by being supported by the owner, Im Yirtza Shaloi L'Zoynoi V'Shaloi L'Farnasoi, as we learned at length in the previous year, the owner always has the option of not supporting his Eved, as we learned. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, our owner could say always to the Eved, you have to work and not get supported. And according to Rav, you can't say but you could say, support yourself. And if so, what is Rameyah saying? That his support is based, his benefit is based on his owner supporting him. That's not a guarantee. Because the owner could still be the owner and not support him. Amar lanu. So, Amar loy. So, we said, Amar lanu, so Ramei responded, Omai yo evit koin shabarach. Ve'eshes koin shamaradu abala. You're right regarding the support. Because the owner could always withhold support. However, v'lai oichel mitroma. He always could eat truma. But now, that he's freed, Zayin Oichel. He will not be able to eat Truma. So even though on the support side, you're right, on the Truma side, you're wrong. Because on the Truma side, the Eved, wherever he is, can eat Truma. Ask Tosfos, how could an Eved who ran away from his owner be allowed to eat Truma? Why should he not be concerned that the owner sold him to Yisrael? And once he's sold to Yisrael, he's not allowed to eat truma. So any Eved that runs away should not be allowed to eat truma. In other words, the Tosfos question is as follows. Ramei is arguing that it's a benefit, even if his owner isn't supporting him, because he's still entitled to eat truma. Ask Tosfos, it's not a benefit because he shouldn't be allowed to eat truma. There should be concern that he was sold and he's no longer an Eved Kayin. So Rav Elchanan asks, he doesn't understand Tosfos Kasha before we get to the Terutzim. Doesn't this Eved have a Chazaka that he's an Eved? And throughout Shas, we always rely on a Chazaka. So he has a Chazaka that he's an Eved and he should be able to continue eating truma based on that Chazaka. So Rav Elchanan says, a Chazaka that's not in my control, a chazaka that's in the control of someone else is not considered a chazaka. His whole chazaka is based on him being an Eved Kayin. But the kohen always has the ability to sell him. That's not called a chazaka. So why indeed doesn't he have to be concerned? And why indeed is he allowed to eat truma? So Tosfos says, you're not going to find, and the Gemara will appreciate Tosfos' teretz better soon, you're not going to find a lot of customers for Eved that ran away. We don't even know where he is. So the chances that the kohen sold him are remote. Tosfos Arash gives another answer. Tosfos Arash says that the owner recognizes we're dealing with religious Jews. The owner realizes the repercussions of what he's doing. What are the repercussions of what he's doing? That the Eved is not allowed to eat truma, and he may continue eating truma. And that is a terrible avera. And therefore, the owner will never sell an Eved in a circumstance that the Eved will not be aware of his being sold, that he should chas v'shalom eat truma. But then, Tosfos, and this is where Reb Nochum explains what Tosfos, I think, is trying to say. Why doesn't the Gemara say a different benefit? Eating truma is a mitzvah. So why doesn't Reb Meir argue that as long as he's an Eved Kayin, he's able to do this gewaldige mitzvah of eating truma, and now, when he's sold, he loses the opportunity to do that mitzvah. So why doesn't Reb Meir suggest that that's the benefit of being an Eved? So the way Reb Nochum explains what Tosfos says is that we would normally think that what is the mitzvah of eating truma? Every time somebody could eat truma, eats truma, he's mekayim a mitzvah. Says Reb Nochum, that's not the mitzvah of eating truma. The mitzvah of eating truma is that there is a certain amount of truma in the world, and the mitzvah is that that truma should be eaten. But it's not a mitzvah that I, this specific Eved, this specific Kohen, should eat the truma. The mitzvah is that the truma should be eaten. And therefore, the Eved doesn't fulfill a personal obligation that we're taking away from him. Avil, Isha, Chayvulai, but continues the Braisa, ending off the Braisa, by an Isha, by a wife, it's certainly a Chayv, she came possum in a Truma, Mafsidim in a Mazinus, that the wife loses support and loses Truma if she were to get divorced. Says the Gemara, Maikam Malay. Not a Gemara tries, as we said, to explain this dialogue between the Chachamim and Rameya. Hachakamalu. This is the way to understand it. Rameya says to Rabbonim, Hishavtona al Mazonis, I understand your argument why support is not really considered a benefit, because the owner has always the option of not giving him any support. However, Mata Shiven al Truma, what about the benefit that he has that he could eat Truma? V'chi Tamer, and what will you, Rameya tries to head off the Chachamim, what will you say? Iba Zark Legeta, it's not in his control to always eat truma, because his owner could always throw a get at him, and as long as the get lands within 4 amos of the Eved, he's no longer an Eved Kayin, or possibly, and he will not be allowed to eat truma anymore. Says Rameya, that's not an argument, because the Eved could always be smart. Shavakle v'arik v'azal alma, the Eved could always be smart to run away, and that the owner can't find him and can't throw the get at him because the get has to be within his dalaramas. But if he's not here, there's no dalaramas. The Mefarshim discuss here, from here it seems that dalaramas of a person is always considered his dalaramas, that it should be effective even midaraisa, which the Mefarshim discuss is not such a simple concept. It could be it's not always that thin, that your dalaramas is considered fully your dalaramas, that anything that comes within your dalaramas you own. So he said, my ilu Eved Kohen Shebarach. So therefore, Ramei completes his argument. If the Eved ran away, Veishas Kohen Shemarda, Abal, or the wife runs away, how are Yechlem Betruma? They're still entitled to eat Truma. Vezeh, and therefore, when he's freed, Eino Eichel, you're taking away that benefit. So that's why Ramei is saying, I hold that a Shtar Shichur is a Chayv, and nobody else should be able to be Zaycha on behalf of the Eved. It's important to note, as we get into this Gemara, that the Pnei Yeshua says that even though the Braisa and the Gemara keep on including the discussion about a wife, it's only to help us understand an Eved. There's no one that would suggest that it's a schus for a woman to get a get. And that's not the object of their discussion between Rameyer and the Chachamim. The issue on the table is an Eved. And therefore, Ramey is arguing that as long as he's an Eved, he's allowed to eat Truma. And by when he is no longer an Eved, he loses that opportunity. And therefore, it should be considered a Chayif. And therefore, says the Gemara Shapa Kamalu, isn't Ramey making a strong argument why a Get Shichur is a Chayif? How did Rabbanan respond? Now we could understand the words of the Mishnah. How did Rabbanan respond to Rameyer? What did Rabbanan say? The owner always has the ability to sell the Eved. Why? The boy Shoka Abba Zuzim Yisrael. He always could take 4 Zuzim from Yisrael and sell him. In other words, what is the Eved banking on? That I always will be able to eat Truma? It's not something that he controls, because his owner could sell him. I will say he ran away, so you're right. You're not going to be able to get a lot for an Eved who ran away, because the Yisrael doesn't know if he'll ever be able to have any use from the Eved. But for Zuzim, the Gyoni HaShas says is always the example of a very minimal amount. For Zuzim, anybody will pay. Let's say somebody came over to you and said to you, I have an Eved to sell you. Only one problem, I don't know where he is. But you know what? I'll sell them to you for $1. $1 is not a big investment. It's not a big risk. If he shows up, you got an Eved. If you didn't, you lost $1. That's what the Gemara means. And therefore, the Eved can't say, I'm going to get the Truma, because the Adon could always sell them. So Mepharshim asks, how can an owner sell an Eved that isn't by him? The halacha is, you could only sell something that's in your possession. This is not in his possession. He ran away. So one teretz that the Mepharshim give is that throughout Shas we know the concept of avdik mekarka, that avodim are compared to karka. Karka is always here, can't move. Avodim have the same din, that know wherever they are, they're considered like karka, and even if I don't know where my evid is, I could still sell them. But then I saw another teretz, very interesting teretz. What does it mean that somebody runs away? Somebody usually runs away because he doesn't want to be here. And therefore, he's not under my control. Why is this Eved running away? He's not running away because he doesn't want to be here. He's running away because he wants to be here, and he doesn't want me, the owner, to be able to free him. That's not cool that he's not here. Not here means that he doesn't want to be here permanently. This Eved does want to be here. And because he wants to be here, just not as an issue, he's having this issue that the owner wants to sell him, that's not considered that he's not here. Ulur Meir asked the Gemara, Tenech Eved Koyin. So we've been able to explain why an Eved Koyin is a Choyv. Why is it a Choyv? Because he loses the opportunity to eat Truma. But an Eved Yisrael that doesn't eat Truma, Mayikul Meimer, Omer Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchok, Nev Shemav Sida Meshivcha Kananis. The halacha is that an Eved Kanani can live with a Shivcha Kananis, and now, when he's freed, he loses that opportunity to live with her. Says the Gemara, he loses a Shivcha Kananis. Adi Rabba, Hare Matira Bas Chayrin. But now he can live with a regular Jewish woman that he couldn't have previously. Answers Rameya, Avda Bafkeri Nichalei. And Eved would prefer to live with a Shivcha Kananis. Zilalei, she's cheap to him, like him. Shichalei, she's always available to him. Pritzalei, she's promiscuous like he is. And therefore, he prefers the Shivcha over the Bas Chayrin, that he's going to lose that opportunity if he's free. And as the Rishonim explain, it's a very fundamental way of looking at things in life. There's an advantage to being able to marry a Bas Chayrin, to marry a regular Jewish girl. There's an advantage to being able to remain with a Shivcha Kananis. Both Ramey and the Chachamim understand that. The question is, everything is relative. Which is the bigger advantage? Which is the bigger advantage? The Chachamim say the advantage of being able to marry a Bas Chayrin outweighs the disadvantage of not being able to live with a Shivcha Kananis. And Ramey says just the opposite. And therefore, that's the basis of their Machlokes. Says Tosfos, all of this discussion is only by an Eved who's a Gadol, who's already an adult. So he already lived with the Shivcha Kananis, so he could say, I'd prefer to live with the Shivcha Kananis over being able to marry a Jewish girl. However, an Eved Kanani who's a Katan, that never had this experience, certainly even Ramey will agree to the Chachamim that it's a schus for him to become free and be able to marry a Jewish woman. Then I saw a Gevaldige Kasha. What are the Chachamim saying? What is Rameya saying? That he doesn't want to be free, because being free, he has to pay the price of not being able to live with Shifcha Kananis. Ask the Mefarshim, why? The halacha is that a regular Jew, because every Kanani when he becomes free, is a regular Jew. Ask the Mefarshim, there's still an option for him. He should sell himself for an Eved Ivri, and an Eved Ivri, we all learned the Parashas Mishpatim, can live with a Shifcha Kananis. So, so to speak, he could have his cake and eat it too. He could be a full-fledged Jew and still live with a Shifcha Kananis. So I saw two answers to this question. One answer is, he doesn't want any Shifcha Kananis. He wants the Shifcha Kananis that he lived with by his old owner. So for him to be able to live with that Shifcha Kananis, his old owner has to buy him back. That's not something that he can control. He's not something that he's sure that the old owner will buy him back. And then I saw another Tiretz. The Tiretz says, regarding an Eved Ivri, that after his term is up, v'shav el mishpachtoi, he goes back to his family. Only such a person who's able to v'shav el mishpachtoi, go back to his family, is a candidate to be an Eved Ivri. Eved Kanani, even though now he's a Jew, he's a ger. He doesn't have any Jewish family. So he doesn't have the ability to do v'shav el mishpachtoi. He can never be an Eved Ivri. The Chassidish Sfarim say, Avda Bafkeri Nichalei, is that the Gemara is teaching us, Eved, if somebody wants to be an Eved Hashem, he wants to be somebody who really is able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bafkeri Nichalei, he has to give up everything else and just devote himself to Avda, to be an Eved Hashem. Says the Mishnah, Ha'aymer, Tanu Getzel Ishti, if somebody says, give this get to my wife, or Shtar Shichur Zel Avdi, or give this Shtar Shichur to my Eved, Umeis, and then he passes away before the shliach actually delivered it. As the halacha lo yitnu lacha misa, it can't be given lacha misa. Why? Because after misa, the get is not effective. So it's a very interesting machlokes rishonim, machlokes Rambam in the Torah. The Rambam says that a get is not effective after misa. So let's say the husband gave the shliach a get to give to the wife, and before the shliach arrived, the husband died, the get is not going to be effective. Mishnah just taught it us. But let's say, ask the Rambam, what would be the din in this case? A husband gives a shlich a get to give to his wife, and Rachman Shlom, before the get was actually delivered, the husband became a shaita. Could the shlich give the get or not? Says the Rambam, yeah. The Torah says, of course not. The get is not effective until it arrives in the woman's hand. By the time it comes to the woman's hand, the husband is a shaita. A shaita is not capable of divorcing his wife. Machlok is Torah in the Rambam, and at first glance, the Torah makes a lot of sense. How do we understand the opinion of the Rambam? A question of the Ktzais. Says the Ktzais, beautiful pshat. The Ktzais says as follows. We all know that how could a husband terminate a marriage? A husband could terminate a marriage, the Mishnah teaches us, in one of two ways. Either by giving a get, or by dying. So once he dies, the marriage is terminated. A terminated marriage cannot be terminated again. Therefore, the Mishnah says, the Rambam agrees to this, that if the get will only arrive after the death of the husband, it's too late. The marriage is terminated. You can't terminate it again. However, becoming a shaita is not a termination of a marriage. It's a very unfortunate situation. But it's not a termination. And therefore, as long as the husband, before he became a shaita, indicated that he wants that this get should be effective, even though it didn't arrive until he became a shaita, says the Rambam, the get is still effective. However, says the Mishnah, Tanu mana lish plini, if somebody says, give this money to this person, umeis, and he passes away before the money is actually delivered, yitnu lachamisa. And the Gemara goes right into that then. When is the halacha that if somebody says that this money should be given to this person, the money is given even though he dies before the money was actually delivered? Is who should support him in Menachem Karen's office? We could point to the specific pile of money and say, this is the money that was given. Ask the Rav Maiskin, exactly what is the case? If the person who made this declaration was healthy and he said, give this money to this person, and before the money actually arrived, the sender passed away. So, kitzaburim I have it. What's the difference if he has the money here? Haloi Mashach. We know for something to be effective in halacha, that's to be a kinyan. As the Ritva says, Mashiach is not the right word here. It's really hagbah. Because you can't do a kinyan of money with Mashiach. To do a kinyan of money, you have to do hagbah. But there was no hagbah. So just by this person saying it, it's not enough. Ask Taisus, a gvaldige kasha. All the Rishayim discussed this question. So what's the case here? There was a person who said, I want to give this $100 to this recipient. And before, and he didn't make, there was no kinyan. And before the money arrived to the recipient, the sender passed away. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem later in the Perek, there's a sugya of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. So they should have to give the intended recipient the money, because this person clearly indicated that he wants this person to receive the money. So what about mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes? So I saw a number of terutzim to this kasha, the Rishonim. One terutz is that our Gemara is going according to the opinion that doesn't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. Another terutz is the mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes doesn't apply when the person who set aside the money didn't set aside the money separately. If somebody just gave, you know, he said, give this money to this individual, but he didn't separate it out, there's no din mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes, Ben Tam's opinion. Another teretz that I saw is it depends what kind of wording this sender used. If he used a strong language, I want this person to receive this money, that's where we say mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. But here he didn't use such a strong language, and therefore there's no din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. Another teretz that I saw is that if all the yorshim of the meis are ketanim, so ketanim are not obligated to do mitzvahs. So perhaps we're referring to a case where all of his yorshim were ketanim, and ketanim certainly don't have a mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. So what is the case of the Mishnah? El b'shchimira. That the person was very ill. So ask the Gemara, Mayi Yitzaburim, what does have to be talking that the money could be identified? Ki in Tzaburim Nami, even if the money is not identifiable, as soon as the Shchimera said it, that should be enough, because we know throughout Shas, Divrei Shchimera, Kiksuvim Masurim Dami, Chazal were concerned that this person who's very ill should not be distressed. And that's why Chazal said that as soon as he said something, it's considered like it's a valid transaction. So why do we need the money? It should be tziburim there. And I saw a very nice part. The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu, as he was very ill, called in Yosef to tell him, I want you to take me to Yisrael to be buried. And the Pasuk says, V'yischazik Yisrael v'yeshev alamita. Why does the Pasuk have to tell us V'yischazik Yisrael v'yeshev alamita? Yaakov Avinu wanted his brachas and his requests should not be just considered he's a shchimira. It should be considered the baton of a bari. That's why Yischazik Yisrael, he strengthened himself that he should be considered a bari. Amrav Zvid, loyal mabari. Our Mishnah is referring to a bari. Ukur Rav Huna Marav, but our Mishnah is referring to a situation that Rav Huna Marav speaks about. Dom Rav Huna Marav, monali biyotcha, tenelu l'ploini, b'mamish lashtin kana. There's a new type of kinyan. It's a kinyan called Mammon Shloshtim. That if there are three of us standing here, and I owe you, you owe me money, and I tell you, instead of giving me the money, give it to someone else, as long as all three of us are here, the halach is, that's considered a valid kinyan. And that's the case of the Mishnah. But, at this point of the Gemara, for this kinyan to be effective, the money has to be here. It has to be a pikadon. It has to be an asset that's available. A milva, which we know throughout Shas, milva leitzah nitna, it's not really available. We don't say the halacha of ma'amit shloshtim. Say to mefarshim, on a get, a kinyan of ma'amit shloshtim would not work. So we're only referring to the last in the Mishnah, not the first in the Mishnah. That by get, we don't say ma'amit shloshtim. So the simple reason is, because the whole kinyan of ma'amit shloshtim is only effective midrabbanan, and we want the get to be given over with a kinyan midaraisa. But then I saw Mepharshim say that even if we'll say that a kinyan derabbanan would be a valid manner to transfer a get, Chazal didn't allow mamet shloshtan. Because mamet shloshtan they only did by financial transactions. So they didn't want you to have to go through the whole process of a kinyan, so they made a new type of kinyan called mamet shloshtan. But by a get, which is not really a financial transaction, they never instituted the mamet shloshtan should be effective. Rapapa has a different way of understanding the Mishnah. Loyalim is Shchimera. So if it's a Shchimera, the question was, why do we need that the money should be identifiable? Kiridach the Rav. Dama Rav. Rav teaches us a very interesting. Shchimera shamatnu mana leploini min nechse. If he said mana zeh, he was able to point to a specific mana, then we have the din of divrei shchimer k'ksuvim mesurim dami, and it's effective. However, mana stam, he wasn't able to point to a specific mana, then the halacha is ein neistam. Why? Because we're always concerned chshin hashem mana kama kama. We don't know which mana the shchimer meant. Maybe he meant a mana that he has buried somewhere. He didn't mean the mana that is available. So even if though we hold divrei shchimer k'ksuvim mesurim dami, we don't know. Only if the Shechemer was able to point to specific money. And here, that's what Rav tells us, that it has to be Tziburim, and that the Shechemer was able to point to them. If he wasn't able to point to him, we don't say Divrei Shechemer K'ksuvim Mesurim Dami. However, says the Gemara, V'hilchasa L'kfura L'chashinan. That's not a chashash, that the Shechemer meant money that's not available. So I saw that the Rishonim discussed the following situation. The Gemara says, V'hilchasa L'kfura L'chashinan. We're not concerned that he meant money that isn't, that we don't know about. But let's say we know that this Shechemer does have money hidden away. What will be the din then? When do we say L'kfur Lai Chashinan? Only when we have no reason to believe that he has money that we don't know about. But if we know for sure that he has money that we don't know about, then maybe we should be Chashish. Or does L'kfur Lai Chashinan mean that if he said he wants this person to get this money, it doesn't make a difference if he has money hidden away or not. Machlokes Rishonim. Ask the Gemara. Rapapa my Tamalai Makrizvid. Why didn't Rav Papa explain the Mishnah like Rav Zvid explained it? Ksav Rav Papa, because the way we explained it, Mamet Shloshton only works by a Pekodin. But says Rav Papa, that's not true. Because Rav, this din of Mamet Shloshton works Loshtabi Milva, Loshtabi Kodin. Not only by Pekodin, which is available, but even by a Milva, which is not available, as I said earlier, Milva Loitzor Nitna, you still will say Mamet Shloshton. If that's the case, so then why did Rav have to say that the money is tziburim, the money is available? So according to Rav Papa's, let's understand what the Gemara is saying. According to Rav Papa's understanding of Mamet Shloshton, the Mamet Shloshton is effective kinyan, whether the money is available or the money is not right here. We still say Mamet Shloshton. So then we don't understand why Rav had to have tziburim, that the money is available. So that's why Rav Papa didn't agree with that explanation of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Zvid, my Tamalai Amuk Rav Papa. So he says, he didn't want to explain that Mishnah is referring to the case of a Shechemera. And the Gemara will explain why. So the Pnei Yeshua asks Avi's question. There's an inherent problem with Rav Papa's explanation. Because we're worried that maybe he has money hidden away. And the Gemara says, that we're not worried about that. So why doesn't the Gemara say that answer? The reason Rav Zvid didn't like Rav Papa's explanation is because it's not halachically followed. So the Pnei Yeshua says a beautiful teretz. Of course we're not choshish l'kfura. But whose opinion are we trying to explain? Who's the man the Amar Val Gemara? Rav. Rav is the one that required Siburim. Rav is choshish l'kfura. So we're not trying to explain what the halacha should be. We're trying to understand what Rav said. According to Rav, we are choshish l'kfura. So the Gemara's question is, so if according to Rav, we are choshish l'kfura, why don't we explain that the Mishnah is referring to a Shechemera, and the case is a case where the Shechemera has to have the money available. Otherwise, we don't say divrei Shechemera k'ksuvim mesurim dami. So the Gemara says, because Rav Zvid did not want to explain the Mishnah that's referring to Shechemera. Ask the Gemara, Memai, why doesn't he want to explain the Mishnah that's speaking about a Shechemera? Midatani, what does the Mishnah say? We shouldn't give it, because it gets not valid after death, as we explained in the Mishnah. So what's the concern? Tam of the mes, because this person died before the get was actually given over. Hamachayim, had he still been alive, nice. We would give the get if it arrived to the wife or it arrived to the Eved before the person passed away. And why was required? Tama, because the sender used the word tenu. Very strong word. Haloi ama tenu. Had he not used that strong word of tenu, ain't nice. Then we wouldn't be able to give the get, even if he's Baruch Hashem alive. Says Gemara, by Shechemera, Afgav deloy ama tenu nice. By Shechemera, we don't have to have the word tenu. And as Rishonim help us understand the Gemara, the reason if someone sends a get to his wife, Somebody tells a shliach, kiss for get lishti, write this get for my wife. The get's not a get unless you use the word tenu, because there are husbands. I'm not saying this the way somebody should behave. The husband they like to start up with their wives, so they say, write a get for my wife. Didn't mean to give the get. So if he didn't use the word tenu, we can't assume that he really meant that the get should be given. The only way we can know that the get was serious is if he used the word tenu. A shchimira, as we've been saying, is a person who's nebuch very, very sick. And he doesn't have the clarity of thought to be careful to use the right word. And even though he didn't use the word tenu, we know that's what he meant. And bichlal, a person at that state isn't hopefully still fighting with his wife. So therefore, if the Mishnah says Rav Zvid is referring to shchimira, why does the Mishnah have to speak about a case of tenu? Even without the tenu, it should be effective. For we learned the Tanan, Rishayna, Hayo Oimrim, Hayoitz Bekala. Somebody's being taken to the gallows. Vama Kisvagat Lishti, Hare Ilu Yitvu Vietnu. Even though they didn't use the word tenu, which as we just explained, is normally required. Again, a person's being taken to hang, he doesn't have the clarity of mind. Chazul Leimer, Afam Afarish, somebody's going out to sea. In those days specifically, it was a very dangerous trip. Vayotz b'shiyara. Rishimish Zuriyayim Afam Asukim. Machlaikis Rishayim, how to understand a Masukim. Some Rishayim say Masukim means a Shchimera. Others explain that a Masukim doesn't mean a Shchimera. A Masukim means somebody who got very ill suddenly. And again, somebody who was Baruch Hashem fine, and all of a sudden he gets very ill, very quickly, doesn't have the clarity, doesn't have the Yishuv Hadas, and therefore even though he didn't use the word tenu, we know that's what he meant. Naskul Rav Ashi. So what are we explaining? That our Mishnah is saying, can't be by Shchimera, because by Shchimera we would not have to have the word tenu. Uman named the Masnisan of Shimon Shazurihi. That's the opinion of Shimon Shazuri. Dilma Rabbanihi. Maybe our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbanan, who always require the tenu. So now we understand, let's review what the Gemara is saying. Rav Zvid did not want to explain that the ratio of the Mishnah is speaking about a Shchimera. For if it were speaking about a Shchimera, why does the word tenu have to be used? Because according to Shimon Shazuri, a Shchimera doesn't have to use the word tenu. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah can be speaking about a Shchimera. And even a Shchimera has to use the word tenu, and without the word tenu, the get kaka can't be given. Gufa, says the Gemara. Now we're going to begin discussing what we spoke about in Amud Aleph, this new type of kinyan called Mamet Shloshtim. Gufa. Amrav Huna Marav, Monali B'yotcha, Tanei L'Ploini. Again, we have us three standing here, and I say to you, you owe me $100. Give it to this individual. The halacha is, if all three of us are standing here, B'mamet Shloshtim Konam. Very interesting tshuva that I saw from the Shalos HaTshuvos Tvar Yeshua. The Shach clearly says that writing a letter doesn't create a situation of Mamet Shloshtim. So if I write you a note, give the money that you owe me to someone else, and then that is not considered a Mamet Shloshtim. But we live in a new world, he says. We live in a world of telephones. We live in a world of conference calls. So what will be the halacha if we create a conference call of the three of us? So we're not all physically in the same room, but we're all together on the phone. Can that be considered a mamet shloshtim or not? And the hipaskins, that is considered a mamet shloshtim. Amar Papa, Mustava Milsa the Rav, and we go back to what we spoke about earlier, the Bekodim. Because the item, what's Bekodim? Bekodim is something that I ask you to watch for me. So that item is physically here. That's where we said a mamet shloshtim works. Avel b'milva, which milva la tzol nitnu, loy. V'lakim amarav, afil b'milva. Even if it's not physically here, we still say mamet shloshtim works. It manami, amishmu mishmei delevi, mivali b'yotcha. I tell somebody, you owe me money. Tneu loy l'ploini. Instead of giving me the money you owe to me, give it to someone else. Daloch is b'mamet shloshtim kana. Ask the Gemara, what is the reason that a Mamet Shloshtim Kinyan works? The Tamamai, why does a Mamet Shloshtim Kinyan work? A Mei Menasek Oymaloi B'Shas Matmos Shemidloch What we assume is that when I leave by you a milva or a bikadin, according to the shittas that Mamet Shloshna works by both of them, or if it's a bikadin, according to the opinion that Mamet Shloshna only works by bikadin, what am I saying to you? You're going to have to return the money. You're going to have to return the bikadin. What I say to you is that you don't have to return it specifically to me. You're going to return it to whoever I designate. So therefore, when the time for payment comes, I say, don't give it to me. Give it to someone else. That was part of the original arrangement. And that's why it's kind of. So Taisus says, just to review some dinim of Mamet Shloshtim. First of all, Taisus says that the Mamet Shloshtim only works by Yisraelim. Doesn't work by Akum. There's also a Machloikus Rishonim. If Mamet Shloshtim works even by Karcha, or does Mamet Shloshtim require the consent of all the parties? And another din, which I discussed earlier, and I saw a very fascinating shaila around that din, is that Mamet Shloshtim doesn't work on shtaris. Mamet Shloshtim only works on something that's tangible. Certainly a bekadim, for sure. So I saw a very interesting shaila from Yitzchak Zilberstein that was asked to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. There were three people. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven tells Shimon, here's a dollar to buy a lottery ticket, and I want you to give the lottery ticket to Levi. And as chance would have it, that lottery ticket is the winner. So Reuven said, no, I didn't mean to give it to Levi that it should work. I usually don't win. To win, I want the money. So is this a situation of a mamet shloshtim or not? So let's use this shaila to review our gemara. Certainly, if it's a situation, if we hold that mamet shloshtim doesn't work, the mamet shloshtim is only going to be affected by a pekodin, not by a milva. The question is, a lottery ticket, how do we look at a lottery ticket? Do we look at a lottery ticket as cash, or do we look at lottery ticket as a shtar choyv? And there's a machloikus achroinim, hard to define cash. Because the achroinim have to deal with the fact that in the time of Shas, cash was mateis, were coins, that had the value of the money. A coin that was worth a dollar was worth a dollar of silver, of gold, whatever. We have paper money that has absolutely no intrinsic value. So how do we look at cash? Do we look at cash? How do we understand cash? Is cash to be understood that anything that could be used to buy something else is considered cash? If that's the case, a lottery ticket you can't use to buy something else. If I have a lottery ticket, I can't go to the store to buy a bottle of milk with a lottery ticket. Or is cash meant that the definition of cash is that the bank, if I walk into the bank with a dollar bill, they have to give me 100 pennies. They have to give me 100 cents. So anything that could be replaced, that has value, that it could be sold, is considered cash. So now, that would be very relevant. Because if a lottery ticket is considered like cash, so then for sure that it's a mamet shloshtim, it's considered, and the kinyan would be a real good kinyan. If, on the other hand, a lottery ticket is only considered like a shtar, or it's only considered like a shtar milva, so the Gemara is saying that by a milva or by a shtar, we don't say mamet shloshtim would be effective, and therefore would not be a kinyan.